and so is my wife. But investment news is the love of my life.
Here's the latest financial news from the Bloomberg Market Minute on 700 WLW.
All right, good morning, Jeff Bellinger. We got an hour to go before the weekend here, all right?
Yes, we do, Steve.
It looks like employers are offering plusher perks to attract some workers.
Yeah, the number of job openings continues to exceed the number of available workers, and a lot of employers have become desperate to recruit people. Fertility coverage is a perk that was pretty much unique to Silicon Valley, but it's showing up in a growing number of benefit packages now. Overall health care packages have also become plusher. More employers are offering mental health coverage.
All right, American Express shares higher in pre-market trading. What's this all about?
Yeah, actually, that was the initial reaction. I just checked the chart, and they're a little bit lower, although the stock is not very active pre-market. American Express posted revenue and profit, the top Wall Street estimates in the latest quarter. Amex said its costs also rose more than expected, though, because it spent heavily on cardholder perks. So far, though, that strategy seems to be working. American Express added a record number of platinum and gold U.S. consumer cardholders during the quarter, and it has benefited by from millennium spending at a surge in leisure travel.
All right, and I guess it's American and United Airlines facing long waits for some new jets.
Yes, some of the Boeing 787 Dreamliner jets ordered by American and United won't arrive until next year, maybe not until 2024. There are some structural glitches with the 787. Boeing won't be allowed to resume deliveries until the Federal Aviation Administration completes its reviews. American Airlines have been counting on these new jets for international routes. Now some of those routes are being reduced, delayed, or suspended.
All righty, and your crystal ball. Tell me what you see.
Well, the NASDAQ could start out higher. The NASDAQ futures are up 21 points now. S&P futures are down just 4. Dow futures are down 85 this hour. From Bloomberg, I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
All right, thanks, Jeff. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you here in just a few minutes. What am I thinking of? We'll talk to you in 30 minutes there. All right, it's coming up on 8:11 on 700 WLW. It is Friday. It is Steve Hawkins in for Mike McConnell. And every Friday, Mike gets to talk to Kevin Carr, one of the fat guys at the movies. Hey, good morning, Kevin. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. I guess the main one this week, the theatrical release that you got to screen, I guess you could, would this be like a historical action drama, The Northman?
Yeah, that's not a bad way of describing it. I mean, it's a drama for sure. It definitely has action to it. It's a story of Vikings about a Norwegian the child, a prince, who has vowed revenge against his uncle after he kills his father and then takes his mother as his own. And after finding himself running away and then giving a life in slavery, he ends up going after the uncle by tracking him down across the land. You know, might recognize the story is similar to Hamlet, you know, the father getting killed, and then of course the revenge and dealing with all the subtext of guilt and want and consequences to your actions and everything like that. This one is essentially it's a Viking drama, so you get a lot of intensity. It's hosed down with testosterone, a lot of screaming, and a lot of blood. An interesting look at stuff. So it's a unique way of doing it. The director is Robert Eggers, who did films like The Lighthouse and The Witch. So his stuff tends to be a little bit polarizing and very artsy. I enjoyed it, but I will say his other two movies were shorter. This one, I think, could have been better if it was under 2 hours.
You know, the one thing when I was researching this, talking to you about it, it just didn't look like a date night movie to me.
No, gosh, no, it's not really. That's one of the things you'll notice in Hollywood. They always try and market stuff to as many people as they can, and sometimes it's a big success. But this one is essentially a relatively big budget and art film, so it's definitely not something that you are going to see casually or you know, on a whim.
I saw a couple of names I recognize. Nicole Kidman's in there, Ethan Hawke in there also.
Yeah, they play the Viking, the original Viking parents. But yeah, it's and there's some other people like Anna Taylor-Joy's in there, Matthias Schoenaerts, and people like that who had who were well into the film. But yeah, it's one of those movies that doesn't rely on the star power. Yeah. Really.
All right, and that one's called The Northman. Let's lighten things up a little bit. Disney Plus has Polar Bear. I guess on Earth Day, we should talk about a nature documentary, right?
Well, yeah, every Earth Day for the last 15 years or so, Disney has released a nature documentary. They used to put them in theaters. Now they're putting them on Disney Plus. This one follows the life of a polar bear and her two cubs as, you know, they're kind of trying to live through the wilderness and the dangers that faces. It's beautifully shot, as is all the Disney nature stuff. And it's a good look at polar bears. My biggest problem is I think they kind of blur the line between documentary and narrative feature with some of the narration choices, making it more first person than it is a third person narrator.
All right, and that one's called Polar Bear on Disney Plus, correct?
Yes.
All right. And the Russian Doll season 2 on Netflix. I missed this TV show. Tell me, I guess it's a comedy / drama. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it's it's sort of surreal. The story follows, at least the first season, this woman played by Natasha Lyonne. She discovers that she's in a time loop. She's dying in accidents over and over and over again and keeps coming back. And that was sort of her an existential crisis, trying to figure out what she was needing to do, if she needed to help change things. And this one, she's, of course, still around, but a couple years later finds herself in the ability to switch bodies or inhabit a body in the past. So it still deals with time, but with her jumping around the timeline itself, which I think is fascinating that they decided to do something a little bit off kilter and a little bit different, which I can appreciate.
Yeah, all right. That's called Russian Doll Season 2 on Netflix. Talking to Kevin Carr, Fat Guys at the Movies. Are we almost coming up to the big movies starting to be released for May, June, July for the summer? Is that going to happen this year?
Well, I mean, you never know. You don't know how much people are going to dial back. They're releasing fewer movies, okay, not just because of COVID, but because of people's viewing habits.
Sure.
I think you're going to start seeing a busier, like, June and July rather than a busy May. But that's just, you know, that's Hollywood trying to bring it back to normal, but, of course, having to face the realities of things as well.
All right, Kevin Carr, Fat Guys at the Movie, how do we connect with you?
You can just go to fatguysatthemovies.com.
All right, Kevin. Good to talk to you every Friday. We'll talk to you next week with Mike. Thanks so much, all right?
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All righty, it's 816 on 700 WLW. Let's get a look at traffic again. Jason's been in here for Chuck this morning. Jason, what are we dealing with now?
Well, we have delays on southbound 75. As you make your way through the Lachlan split down to about Town Street, you're looking at a few extra minutes on your commute there. The northbound lane's still looking good from Mitchell Avenue up to the lateral. North 75 in Kentucky, it's Dixie Highway to the bridge. You do have one accident reported in Butler County. It's going to be along Winton Road at the intersection of Nillis Road. From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health has been performing life-saving transplants and providing second chances for more than 50 years. Jason Earhart on News Radio 700 WLW.
All right, the 9 First Warning Weather Forecast Center. Jennifer Ketchmark says this dense fog advisory should burn off by about 9 o'clock this morning. Then it expires. Turns into a slight chance of morning rain day, a mix of sun and clouds this afternoon, all the way to 74 for the high, 57 tonight, and then tomorrow some sunshine, 81, partly cloudy Sunday, high 80. Looking good for the Reds and Cards at GABP all weekend. Looks like no rain, so that's good. Still 51 right now at your severe weather station, News Radio 700 WLW. Okay, we're scheduled to talk to Tara over at the Animal Friends Humane Society with our Dog of the Week, and also Jim Ryan from ABC News in Dallas talking about what happened with Disney and the state of Florida. You've been following this story? Wow. We've got that for you coming up next right here on Mike McConnell in the Morning.
The first victim was found in Pittsburgh in the summer of 2020. The last in Phoenix in the winter of 2022. 12 random people from 8 different states. The only thing they have in common, They were all killed with a lemon reamer.
This is the most vicious reaming I've ever seen.
Join us on the hunt for the Citrus Killer podcast.
There are a lot of shows to listen to these days. Make sure it's a show worth your time. I suggest The Scott Sloan Show.
I buff my butt to give you the best show I can every day.
Check out Sloaney this morning at 9 on 700 WLW. And be sure to catch his podcast on the iHeartRadio app.
This report is sponsored by Miami Valley Gaming.
Mark your calendar for...
Responded in Dallas this morning. Jim, explain this to me. In Florida, the burden of Disney's taxes are going to fall on the residents now. What's going on here?
Yeah, Will, if you've ever been to Disney World and you've driven past one of the many fire stations that they have on the property out there, it says RCFD, and you probably wondered why. I mean, mm-hmm. Why isn't it WD or Disney World Fire Department? RC stands for Reedy Creek. That's the improvement district that was established in 1967. It essentially allowed Disney to govern itself. It taxed itself. It paid its own bills. There wasn't a county obligation. Well, this was all before the so-called Don't Say Gay bill, the bill that passed the Florida legislature and has been signed by the governor there, which prohibits the discussions of gender identity, sexual orientation for kids in elementary school. Disney took a stand about that and now is feeling the heat from the legislature, which wants to dissolve the Reedy Creek Improvement District. That would put the whole thing on to the county residents. The county taxpayers would then pick up this billion-dollar bill, Steve.
Is that a good thing for county residents?
No, it's going to cost them more. Their property taxes are going to go up because they'll suddenly be responsible for the bill. Yeah, there's certainly a good side to it. Disney generates a lot of income for the area, but still they have a lot of debts, as any big corporation does, and now those debts are going to fall onto county taxpayers.
Yeah, and that's why I was trying to figure out this story. There's a feud going on between like the governor and Disney, but throwing this onto the taxpayers seems to be anti-productive. Am I thinking of this wrong?
Well, you know, I think that a lot of the lawmakers in Florida say they've been looking at these improvement districts for some time. The one where the Disney occupies isn't the only one. There are over 100 or so of these improvement special districts, taxing districts around Florida. Five of them are being examined and planned for dissolution, including Reedy Creek. So, yeah, is it a sort of a vindictive move? Well,
yeah.
The opponents of that legislation say that it is. But the supporters say that this is something that should have been done a long time ago anyway. This has been in existence for over 50 years.
All right. And this is kind of tit for tat with Disney and the state of Florida, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, you have to look at it that way. And, you know, the timing of it and the way that the legislation was rushed through, I don't think anybody could deny that there is a cause and effect here. And in fact, lawmakers who drew up this legislation and supported it say that Disney had, quote, kicked the hornet's nest by making a statement about this piece of legislation. So, yeah, yep. Undoubtedly, Steve, it's going to end up in court. So that's probably the next stop.
Yeah, it's all about control also. And we're supposed to say also ABC News, which you work for, is owned by the Walt Disney Company, which also owns Walt Disney World. So
correct.
There's our disclaimer this morning.
Exactly.
Hey, Jim, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Steve.
All right. Jim Ryan with us, ABC in Dallas, as always, on 700 WLW. You know, it is Friday, so we'll talk to Beer Dave in just a little bit and find out. Big Ash Brewing, you know, they had that fire last week. Are they reopening? I'm going to ask him all about that coming up in the next 30 minutes. Aaron Katursky will be here talking about Putin says he won in Mariupol in the Ukraine, but the mayor says he didn't. So we got that coming up on 700 WLW. You know, always on Fridays, we get to talk to Tara Bowser, executive director of the Animal Friends Humane Society in Butler County. Hey, good morning, Tara.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Big Bertha, that's who we're talking about today. And I want to talk about the kitten shower, but let's talk Big Bertha first, okay?
Yeah, so Big Bertha is a 5-year-old bull mastiff. She's 135 pounds, so
wow.
Probably not a good dog if you have a small living space. But otherwise, if you are interested in a larger dog, check her out. She is housebroken, super smart. She already knows commands like let's go, potty, outside, down, paw, sit, know, and even lay down. Super smart dog. She's been around cats. She's fine with them. She does like to chase them a little bit. So if your cat doesn't enjoy kind of being, you know, running around with a big dog, then maybe don't look at her. But she's friendly with other dogs. Lived with kids also, ages 3 to 11. Great with them. Loves to go outside. She's a sunbather. Pulls a little bit on a leash when you're walking her, but otherwise she's great on walks. So again, check her out. Big Bertha, 5-year-old bull mastiff. She needs a forever family as soon as possible. Her adoption fee is only $125. You can check her out on the website, animalfriendshs.org.
And we'll get her on Mike's blog, too, in just a little bit. Events, you're expecting lots of kittens. That's tomorrow at the Kitten Shower in Hamilton, right?
Yeah, so kitten season has already started, and last year we took in about 2,000 kittens. So we're anticipating even more this year, and a lot of supplies are needed to care for these. So if you want to learn more to help support us, we are having our kitten shower at our shelter in Hamilton tomorrow from noon to 4. You can bring the kids out, too. We're going to have some crafts and guessing games and snacks and refreshments, some cool stuff going on there. You can learn more about what we do for our community, how to become a foster to help us save these lives. And then maybe bring a supply or two to also support us so you can see what we're in need of on our Amazon wish list. That is on our website, again, animalfriendshs.org. So if you want to stop out tomorrow, Animal Friends Humane Society, 1820 Princeton Road in Hamilton from noon to 4.
All right, Tara, thanks so much. Have a good weekend and good luck with the kitten shower, all right?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right, Tara Bowser with us, Animal Friends Humane Society Executive Director. Help them out if you can. All right, it's coming up on 8:30. Time for the news right here on the home of the Cincinnati Reds, News Radio 700 WLW.
News, traffic, and weather. News Radio 700 WLW, Cincinnati.
They made off with hundreds of thousands of dollars in merchandise. With the 8:30 report, I'm Rick Uccino. Breaking now, Hamilton County Sheriff's deputies have released images captured from security footage of the robbery this week inside the Louis Vuitton store at the Kenwood Town Center. Over a half dozen suspects are still on the run after making off with everything on the show floor.
Hamilton County Sheriff's Office says it happened about 3 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. 8 to 10 people wearing ski masks and gloves stormed the Louis Vuitton store at the Kenwood Town Center. Sheriff's Office says they pushed their way past workers at the door, then ripped off every item on the floor of that Louis Vuitton showroom. Then they took off in a dark gray SUV and a black car heading northbound on 71. Estimated loss, more than $400,000. You can see surveillance photos at 700WLW.com. I'm Matt Reese.
Investigators have not released any additional information on who the suspects may be or where they were headed. If you can help, call Crime Stoppers at 352-3040. Let's check the latest traffic and weather together.
Interstates aren't looking too bad right now. You do have some delays on southbound 75 as you head through the Lachlan split off and on down toward Town Street before it breaks up for you. Northbound 75 still looking good. Mitchell Avenue on up. 71 wide open coming southbound from Fields-Erdl to Pfeiffer. Just the one accident right now to be aware of in Butler County. It's along Winton Road at Nillis. From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health has been performing life-saving transplants and providing second chances in greater Cincinnati for more than 50 years. Jason Earhart on News Radio 700 WLW.
Now the latest forecast from the Train Heating and Cooling Weather Center on News Radio 700 WLW.
A dense fog advisory is in effect until 9 a.m., but after that, the sky will go from being mostly cloudy to partly cloudy and a noticeable warm-up with a high of 74. Tonight, 57 for a low with a partly cloudy sky, followed by a gorgeous Saturday forecast, low 80s and partly cloudy. From your severe weather station, I'm 9 First Warning meteorologist Jennifer Ketchmark, News Radio 700 WLW.
51 degrees right now. We could be seeing signs of a COVID upswing in Ohio.
Data released by the Ohio Department of Health Thursday shows an increase of over 2,000 new cases of COVID in the last week. That is more than double the increase from the week before. Also, new hospitalizations are up over 100 more statewide. That's not putting any strain on hospital capacity in Ohio, but it's again about double the increase from the week before. 94 new deaths this week, which is basically in keeping with the 3-week average number of COVID deaths in the state. I'm Jack Crumley.
New infections are on the rise across more than 24 states right now, driven by 2 subvariants of Omicron. Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear is looking at alternative ways to legalize medical cannabis in Kentucky, possibly through executive action.
I'm announcing 4 steps that set out a process we're going to be engaged in over the next several months. Most of these steps are about hearing from you, the public, so that your voice is heard by the executive branch, even if it's ignored by the legislative branch.
Beshear is establishing the governor's medical cannabis advisory team, which will travel the state to hear directly from Kentuckians. A bill legalizing medical marijuana did fail to get a vote in the Senate during this latest legislative session. Meantime, a win for abortion rights advocates. A federal judge has now blocked Kentucky's sweeping new restrictions.
A U.S. district judge issued a temporary restraining order against House Bill 3, which was passed by the Republican-controlled legislature. The new law bans abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy and contains new reporting requirements that essentially force the state's only two providers to stop offering the procedure. In a statement, Planned Parenthood called the ruling a win, but only the first step in the court fight for patients' right to basic health. Kentucky is among the GOP-led states that have passed restrictive abortion laws in anticipation of a U.S. Supreme Court decision that could reverse Roe v. Wade. I'm Paul Miles.
Reds are back home tonight for only the third time this season. They take on the St. Louis Cardinals, looking to snap a 9-game losing streak. Hunter Green gets the start for Cincinnati. Our pregame coverage gets underway at 5:40 this evening right here on the home of the Reds. Our next update at 9 o'clock. I'm Rick Uccino, News Radio 700 WLW.
This report is sponsored by Glennie Glass Company.
It's time for your breakthrough. Join the Glennie Glass Minute on 700 WLW.
All right, Jeff Bellinger here as we wrap up the work week and get rolling here into the weekend. Let's talk about coffee prices. Not good. Yeah, they're rising.
Yes, they are. Price of Arabica coffee climbing for the first time in more than a week. There are new concerns about the Brazilian crop. Conditions have been drier than normal, and forecasters say drought patterns may be intensified if La Nina conditions last through fall, and they may. And there are also worries now that coffee farmers won't have access to the fertilizer they need that comes from Russia.
Goodness. Verizon in the news. What are they doing?
Well, investors are trying to figure out just what they think of Verizon's quarterly results. The stock's a little lower pre-market. Verizon lost some monthly phone subscribers in the latest quarter, but not as many as feared. And it added a lot of broadband internet customers, the most for any quarter in a decade. The company's revenue was up from the same quarter a year ago. It was roughly in line with forecasts. Per share earnings were a penny better than expected, but Verizon lowered its sales growth forecast.
All right, General Motors thinking about expanding their electric vehicle partnership.
Yeah, GM and Honda may work together on the development of solid-state batteries. Nothing definite yet, but they are talking about it. The batteries may one day replace the lithium-ion cells that are currently used in EVs. Solid-state batteries have more power, they cost less, and they have a reduced risk of fires.
All right, and finally this morning, last person out at CNN Plus, please turn out all the computers. They're already gone with less than a month, in and out, right?
Yeah, you wonder why media people get nervous when they hear about new bosses coming in. Well, these new bosses at CNN don't share the old boss's views on video streaming. The CNN Plus video streaming service, which debuted less than a month ago, is being shut down at the end of the month. CNN, HBO, and other cable assets changed hands when AT&T spun off Warner Media. Warner is now owned by Discovery, and the people at Discovery have a different strategic vision. It does not include CNN Plus.
All right. In the markets?
Futures narrowly mixed right now. S&P futures are down 8 points. NASDAQ futures are up 4. Dow futures are down 106. Steve, good working with you. Have a great weekend.
You
I'm
too.
From Bloomberg. I'm Jeff Bellinger on News Radio 700 WLW.
All right. Let's head out to New York. One of my favorite ABC News correspondents. He always gives us the straight story. Aaron Katursky with us this morning. Good morning, Aaron.
Steve, good morning. This is, the eighth week of this war?
Sure.
And against all odds, Mariupol is still hanging in there, according to the mayor. The Russians have already declared victory there, but the mayor says that it's not true. And President Biden said it's a premature declaration that amounts to disinformation. The focus of the fighting in Mariupol is the steel plant. Soldiers and civilians remain holed up there with limited and dwindling supplies, as the Russians seemingly want to starve them out.
Did I also see that the Russians may have walked away or given up on this deal or the steel plant?
Well,
or
the, apparently Putin said that he called off the bombardment, but we're getting word that it's still being shelled, but that now the Russians are also enforcing a blockade, and it may be that they're trying to starve them out, you know, just let them subsist on whatever limited supplies there are until there aren't any more. I mean, it's awful. And the end that they're going to meet, if they can't hang on, is pretty grim, because the we're getting images from satellite companies that show mass graves in Mariupol bigger than the ones we've seen elsewhere in the country when the Russians have retreated.
Yeah, and that's one thing I never thought in filling in for Mike McConnell that I would ever ask you about mass graves anywhere in the world in 2022. But the aerial shots that you were talking about, I've seen those, and they kind of indicate that that could be possibility there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, and they're huge. The loss of civilian life has to be enormous. And elsewhere where they found mass graves around Kyiv, there have been about 1,000 bodies found, a number of them killed with small arms fire, indicating that they were probably killed at short range. I mean, just point-blank executed. And the brutality is on a scale that you cannot imagine. And President Biden, when he announced more military aid for Ukraine, talked about the geography of the war changing as the battle moves east, but the brutality that the Russians show remaining. And there have been some reports about intercepts that Western intelligence has picked up from Russian communications indicating that the plan is just to shoot civilians.
The mayor of Mariupol, Boychenko, I believe I said that right, he said, quote, yeah, unquote, this requires a strong reaction from the entire world. What's going on in his city? What is the reaction of the entire world right now? The latest on that?
Well, I mean, look, there's more military aid coming. I don't know if it's enough or if it's even capable of reaching Mariupol at this stage, but the U.S. is sending $800 million worth of additional aid to include heavy artillery, you know, howitzers and ammunition, tactical drones. All of this is specifically designed for the new phase of the war in eastern Ukraine, as the Ukrainians try to hold off a Russian army that seems like it'll advance from both the north and the south to try to pinch off the Ukrainian forces.
Is there any, I've heard that like May 9th in Russia is like Patriot Day or something like that, and they want to wrap this war up by then. Is there any indication that anybody believes that we're near the end of the fighting in Ukraine?
I don't think so, and it's hard to see an end. You know, the Russians seem committed to all of this until they achieve whatever goals they want to achieve, and it's not clear what they are, right? I mean, they failed in the first instance to take Kyiv, and now they're concentrating their forces in the east. And a Russian general was even heard saying that they want to take over all of the south. We don't know whether that represents a strategic shift or something else. So it's just not clear what the Russians want to do and how far they're willing to go. But you heard President Biden say it's just not clear when the war is going to end.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, what their goals and things were, but are we getting more and more to where nations start seeing the devastation to civilians and other countries step up, or everybody will stay out of Ukraine?
No. I mean, there are no boots on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, again, no one wants to fight the Russians in Ukraine. They think that that'll make things even worse for the world. So the Ukrainians remain on their own in terms of fighting forces. But the U.S. and its allies are sending aid. And the president said that military aid can continue indefinitely. You know, he was asked, my colleague Karen Travers asked him, you know, how long can the U.S. continue to supply Ukraine? And the answer was, you know, for as long as we need to.
Wow. Let's hope it's not that long. All right. Aaron, as always, thanks so much. Giving us everything the straight poop this morning. Aaron Katursky, ABC News correspondent in New York. Have a good weekend. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week. All right. It's 8:47 now on 700 WLW. Chuck's out today, and Jason's in. The latest in traffic. What do you got?
Well, Steve, it's been pretty quiet for most of the morning. You still have a couple of slow spots. Southbound 75, a little bit crowded as you go through the Laughlin split, off and on until you get to about Ronald Reagan Highway. Then it starts to ease up, and you should be good going southbound from that point. Northbound lanes, really not too bad. Mitchell Avenue up toward the interchange over at the Norwood Lateral. You've got one accident now. Looks like they're just about done with it. Winton and Nillis up in Butler County. Everything else looks good. This thinned out in North 75 through the cut in the hill. Traffic in Northern Kentucky looking good as you make your way toward the bridges. From the UC Health Traffic Center, UC Health has been performing life-saving transplants and providing second chances in Greater Cincinnati for more than 50 years. Jason Earhart on News Radio 700 WLW.
All right, thanks, Jason. Here we go. The 9 First Warning Weather Forecast Center for Jennifer Ketchmark. This dense fog advisory is supposed to burn off by 9 o'clock this morning and end. We've got a slight chance of morning rain, a mix of sun and clouds this afternoon. High is going to be 74. First pitch for the Reds and Cards tonight at GABP, 6:40, still supposed to be 73 degrees, all right? Tomorrow and Sunday, 80s, low 80s, I should say. Sunshine on Saturday and partly cloudy on Sunday. It's still 52 at your Severe Weather Station News Radio, 700 WLW. Friday means Beer Dave at this time, and Big Ash Brewing, they had their fire last week or so. I'm going to ask Beer Dave all about it, is Big Ash Brewing, when they're going to reopen. Coming up with our Beer Dave report next on 700 WLW.
The big one has your chance for big bucks. I'm talking about $1,000. And that's big bucks. Every hour, weekdays from 9 to 5, listen for the keywords. Then enter them on 700WLW.com for your shot at $1,000.
This report is sponsored by Advix Manufacturing, now hiring. Today's forecast, a fresh start with Advix Manufacturing Ohio, now hiring all shifts. Earn $19.05 an hour to...
All right, coming up on 855 700 WLW. That music means on Mike McConnell's show, it is Friday, and it's time to talk to Beer Dave. Hey, Beer Dave, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you?
I'm ready. I'm ready to go, and I'm ready to go back to Big Ash Brewing. Are they going to reopen? They had a fire. Was it last weekend?
Yeah, so last Saturday morning, about 6 a.m., they had an electrical fire in the kitchen, and based on the picture they sent me, it looks like the POS system, the cash register and all of that, looks like caught fire early in the morning, and so they are going to open today at 4 o'clock for bar and beer garden service. Plus, they're going to set up with some food trucks until they can get the kitchen back up and running. So this is a good weekend to go sit out in their beer garden and have some of their beers. The beers are fine. It's the kitchen that needs to be reworked.
All right. As long as we have our priorities in order. Beer fine, kitchen second, right? All right, 4 o'clock today, they'll open that back up. All right, let's talk about Heavenly Seven here, Cincinnati's Urban Artifacts celebrating their 7th anniversary.
Yeah, it's a couple of anniversaries this week, and Urban Artifacts moved into that old church in Northside right there at Coleraine Avenue and 74, and they've done a great job remodeling this church. They turned the old church itself into an event center, and then down underneath in the undercroft is the brewery and the tap room. And these guys have really become sort of the sour brewery of the area, and they're making some awesome sour beers. So if you get a chance, this will be a good weekend to pop in and experience them if you have not.
Yeah, I want to you wrote this down here and showed the picture, the Cherries Jubilee on draft and in cans. Have you had that yet?
Haven't had it. It's releasing this week for their 7th anniversary. But I'm expecting it to be really nice and tart, like you would expect the cherries to be. And I'm thinking it's Michigan cherries that they're using.
Yeah, for some reason, most of that stuff I usually bypass, but this is one I want to try. And then tomorrow, they've got their popular Midwest Fruit Tart Ale, the Gadget, at their tap room. So that's one I want to try also. All right, so that's good.
Yeah, they've got good stuff. It's a good way to experience the sour beers and decide whether they're for you or not.
Okay, the sauce, looking at Little Miami Brewing Company, their taco trucks now open for the summer season?
Yeah, so years ago they bought that old truck and turned it into their taco truck that they operate along with their kitchen inside. And it's open when the weather's nice, essentially, especially Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That opens back up today.
All right, I haven't had it, but their Junkyard Dog IPA, global IPA, with hops all over the world is back on tap.
Yeah, this is a pretty cool scenario because you get American English and German hops blended in with it, and it's 10% alcohol. Wow. And 80 IBU, so it is a big beer.
All right, and they've got their Give Back Wednesday for Stepping Stones coming up this coming Wednesday from 5 to 8. They're $1 per pint sold donated to Stepping Stones, so that's good, too, on Wednesday. I like that. You know, it's Earth Day today, Beer Dave, and recycling of aluminum cans, pretty awesome. Yeah, also.
It is so important. It takes 95% less energy to recycle an aluminum can than it does to make a new aluminum can. If you don't recycle anything else, you should be militant about recycling your aluminum cans. It's one of the things that during the pandemic, there were a lot of supply chain issues with. It got very expensive for a while, and aluminum's used in all kinds of things, from construction, automobiles, but more importantly, beer goes into those cans. So recycle those cans for Earth Day and beyond.
All right, and one final one, Braxton Brewing also turning seven. They've got their seventh anniversary rooftop celebration tomorrow, right?
Yeah, so they also started